Hey everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Scaling Intelligence, the podcast where we decode the future one episode at a time. And today's guest is someone who's been at the forefront of driving visibility and inclusion in the HPC space, and personally someone I've been really looking forward to having on the show, Krista Merritt. It's great to have you here, and you've been such a visible and energetic voice in the women and HPC community and the HPC community in general. And I'm really excited to talk more about your journey, your perspective, and the work you're doing to make the space better. So yeah, Kristen, thank you for being here today.
It's an absolute honor to be here. Thank you so much, Antonia, for your invitation.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. Tell me, how did you first get involved in the world of HPC?
Oh, it was an accident. So my background is not a technical background. I was actually a classics major at the University of Florida, and I met my husband there at the University of Florida, and he knew exactly what he wanted to do for a living, and I did not. One of the funny things about me, though, is that for a number of years, I was part of a dial-up underground D&D group called MUD. And so I knew a little bit about programming. I knew a little bit about the tech world. And in fact, I actually just generally enjoyed it and found myself making friends with a lot of computer scientists and engineers and the like. So I think in a parallel universe, I probably was an engineer. We moved to Oxford, UK, which is actually where I'm located now, as you can tell by my accent. And I started basically looking for jobs. And I ended up at a software firm here in Oxford, where I had a colleague who moved on to another job. And oh gosh, about like maybe a year or two later, he shows up at my doorstep with a folded up piece of paper, and he hands it to me and he goes, "I think the world of supercomputing needs you." And in it was a job description for an account manager at a place called Alice's Flight. And I was like, okay, you know what? I trust James. I trust him. I know exactly what he is as a person. He wouldn't have come to me unless he thought this was something really meaningful. Mm-hmm. And I went to interview, and I found out about the world of supercomputing and HPC and now AI and quantum. And I just absolutely just fell in love with this whole entire field. And I just, from there, just sort of snowballed. So that's kind of like the abbreviated how I got into HPC.
Amazing. And I mean, we all know that you're also really deeply involved with women in HPC, but I would say before we dive in too deep, could you tell us maybe a bit more about women in HPC? I mean, what it is, what's the mission, and who is it really for?
Ah, well, women in HPC is first of all and foremost for everyone interested in the world of supercomputing. So this was not my idea, as much as I would love to lay claim to this, but in 2013, back when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, up at the EPCC, which is at the University of Edinburgh, it's where our tier one facility known as Archer lives, two women, a woman named Toni Collis and another woman named Allison Kennedy, got together over lunch and said to each other, "Gosh, there's not a lot of women that work in this group." So what they decided to do was kind of start like a little club or group or something that gathered, and they went out specifically looking for women and basically over time underrepresented groups. And from there, they kind of created this mission statement of trying to work to actively promote and support women and underrepresented groups inside the supercomputing world. Since then, we obviously well blown past our 10-year anniversary, it is now kind of a global phenomenon. There are chapters and affiliates that are located around the world, the US, Asia. We've got a very active Australia, New Zealand group. And there's also been a shift to allyship, as well as career development, which is why I say it's for everyone, because many times when people go in there, they're kind of expecting some kind of gender conversation. Mm-hmm. And what's really come out of it is a beautiful way to not only promote women and underrepresented groups inside high performance computing, but as well as get people to talk about just working in this field, in the world of supercomputing, and navigating your career.
Amazing. I can only agree with you. And I mean, I just heard that you said women in HPC was not your idea initially, but I mean, you've been part of women in HPC as it's grown into a really global community. And has there maybe been one really powerful or rewarding part of the women in HPC movement that stuck with you, like, I don't know, one encounter or just one initiative within the community that you made where you say, yes, that really got me hooked?
So, again, it was an accident that I got involved in women in HPC, but there was this thing that people might have heard of called COVID and the pandemic. And that put a lot of things kind of in this weird kind of space and out of action. But when we came out of it, the one thing that started to happen was there was sort of this need to reconnect. And something that I'm really proud of, it was started before, and I'm glad I picked it up and I put it back into the focus for the group, is the travel fellowships that we offer for successful authors to either for ISC, our poster series, and for SC conference series, the workshop speakers. And this is basically, it's a reimbursed travel bursary, but we have made darn sure that this travel bursary will cover everything from the hotel to childcare costs to tickets to everything else, so that these people who are early in their career can come and have an opportunity to speak and tell everyone about their research or their or industry project work in front of a very supportive audience. I'm also pleased to say that from that, the media partners for Women in HPC, which are HPC Wire and Inside HPC, have done interviews with these people and have done so much work in helping us to promote not only the women, but a lot of the fields that are really emerging and growing out of high performance computing and AI. Our last set was very much focused in that whole AI emerging space and working with GPUs. And so it was great to not only hear these women speak, but then get that level of support from the community, which I think is so critical in getting initiatives off the ground. So I'm really proud that I went out there and I made sure that this travel fellowship could come into being and stay.
Yes, I totally agree with you. And before we go deeper into the initiatives, I also have to thank you again. I was one of the people, I wasn't a travel fellow, but I had the opportunity to speak at ISC as a person that just came into high performance computing via Women in HPC. And I'm so super thankful that I can make my voice heard. And yeah, I just wanted to thank you when we have the chance to do that. And what you just said is something we've also been thinking a lot about at Halo. As you know, at Intersect 360 Research, we founded the HPC and AI Leadership Organization, and we have the same belief that at the core of that is at the core of women in HPC. That bringing more perspectives into HPC and AI doesn't just make things more inclusive, but it actually improves what we build and how we build it. I mean, let alone look at medical science that is often based on research that is done on males. And the question that I have from you is, from your experience, what happens when we really start listening to those voices that haven't traditionally been part of this conversation?
I think we are definitely experiencing a wonderful shift, both with the people and the technology within supercomputing. And it is an opportunity. And I think a lot of people, well, there's this old concept. I don't think it's considered new, and it's probably changed, called like the wheel of change. And people talk about when you're presented with something new, you kind of go through this sort of wheel of emotions. And a lot of them are like fear and anger. And I think one of the things that I have seen within the field of supercomputing, because I've now been in it, next month will be my ninth year in the world of HPC, is that people are initially absolutely terrified of anything that is presented to them because it is a threat to what they know. And I think that rather than coming in, and one of the ways that you really kick off the anger and the fear is to basically come barreling in and saying, this is how it is now, is this kind of slow but gentle progress that we've been making, especially within the field of, you know, that gender and the inclusivity side of that aspect of supercomputing, that I think is really, really important and it has been slowly grasped onto, is that the diversity of voices helps when new technology arrives on the scene. Because chances are, with that diversity of voices, you've got somebody who's got some level of experience from some angle that they can bring a new viewpoint into what it is that we can achieve. A really good way of looking at this is not necessarily with women in HPC, but like the SC Conference series has an Art of HPC series now. They're trying to look for creative sides mm-hmm. and kind of bring that like element in. Like with women in HPC, I think what we've really pushed for is bringing in real conversations around the career of supercomputing and saying we need to make space for those early career voices. It's passed mm-hmm. over into the work that I do at Alice's Flight. We even have a community day called Sustainable Reality, where this year we're like, you know what? This early career thing, getting these new people up on stage and speaking, this seems to really excite people. And it's a great way to exchange real ideas and allow people who have the experience within the field to impart some knowledge back onto those people who want to be in this field. And I think it's those slow, steady steps that really is what makes a difference. And it does start with the fact that we as a community are now open to talking to each other, to mm-hmm. bringing in new ideas and concepts and welcoming them instead of pushing them away.
Yes, I agree with you. And now you already talked about some steps that can be taken, but if we now zoom in from the bigger picture to everyday work, there's often the idea that real change has to come from leadership. But I mean, what can individuals actually do to make the field more inclusive, no matter where they are in their career at the moment?
I think, you know, you said the first important thing, that culture starts at the top. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, culture starts at the top. So I think that as any leader who may be listening, and this, by the way, I love when people think, when they think the word leader, they think they need to be in the C-suite. If you are, you know, if you have colleagues around you, you can position yourself as a leader, as an example for the group. In fact, there's a woman that I've had the joy of volunteering with named Christine Quickie, who was the SC chair for 20 and who sticks around the group. And she always says, you know, leading by example, leading less about the direct and by what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing that I don't think it matters if you're the highest, you know, if you're running, you know, a massive Fortune 500 company, or if you're in a room with a bunch of graduate software developers. You need to consider what it is that you're doing and what you're bringing to your everyday work and how you are showing up. And so much of it is just about showing up mm-hmm. and being there for mm-hmm. people and holding that kind of space. And it doesn't matter who you are. I think that is what culturally can make a difference in any company, institution, or otherwise.
And if we now look at the other side, I mean, we can also look at your story. What have you find your own sense of belonging in the space? Or is there maybe some piece of advice you would give to someone just entering the space who's looking to find community or mentorship? Obviously, they can do it to women in HPC. But maybe if they're not quite there yet, especially if they feel like they don't fit the mold, is there like some kind of advice that you would give to those people?
I think the advice is that I have never met anyone who has said that they fit the mold. I don't think I have ever found anyone who's come in and said, oh yeah, I am all the HPC, I am all that. In fact, it's not uncommon when I approach people, like doing your role that you're doing right now, Antonia, to ask them to talk about their work, they go, well, I'm not HPC mm-hmm. enough. And I think the first thing I would say to everyone is you're always welcome. If you are in this field, whether you are a project manager, whether you are, you know, an admin having to run around and schedule, you know, your team, to whether you're a hardcore cable runner, or you're working, you know, actually in the data center itself, or you're actually, you know, programming that hardware or whatever it is you're doing, you belong. And mm-hmm. I think if you're wanting to get started, the biggest thing is just to take that first step. So womeninhpc.org is where you can join Women in HPC. That's free. I know Halo has its particular sign up. I'm sure you'll talk about that as well yes. at the end of this conversation. There is also the conference series themselves, SC, ISC. There are local events. I'm in the UK, so there's the RSC Society, or Society of Research Software Engineers. There's the CIUK conference in Manchester. There's so many opportunities. And really, just like the last answer I gave you about showing up, mm-hmm. just show up. The other thing too is it's okay to ask for help. Mm-hmm. So if you're just showing up in your role, like Antonia, you showed up and there was a request. Could I get on stage? And it's like, yeah, absolutely. You know, don't worry about people saying no. Just show up and get out there and do. Yeah. Trust me, nobody I've met yet has said, oh yes, oh yes. I've known exactly that I was HPC this whole time.
Yes, and maybe also something that I want to add is, like, even if it's something small, like texting someone on LinkedIn, just try, like, for everyone that is listening that is maybe not in the space yet, just try, text everyone that you're interested in, and at some point someone will answer, and probably more people will answer that you thought of before, you know? So even if it's just a text message, if you're not ready to go to a conference yet, I think this will also, or could also make a big difference for the people trying to enter the space. So, yeah. Before we wrap up, I'd love to look ahead for a second, and maybe you could tell us, if you could have a magic wand and change one thing about the culture of HPC overnight, what would it be? Is there something that comes to your mind right away?
I would get rid of the fear. I know that's really funny, because really what's on the forefront of a lot of people's minds, and this was discussed yesterday in some community work we were doing for both the SE conference series and the upcoming ELSA's event on sustainable reality, mm-hmm. is people are, you know, that it's that scared of new things. I wish I could kind of magically change people from being terrified to, like, looking at something new and saying, oh my gosh, think of all the possibilities here. And I honestly think if we could kind of remove our unfortunate human, like, almost, I'm sure it's a biological survival need, you know, oh, new thing, you know, this is threatening my prehistoric, you know, mindset, to a more open place, I think that our community would be, like, so much further along, because we have to go through that fear, that kind of fear climb, and get over to the other side. So that's what I would magic away. I know it's kind of a weird thing. It's very human, a human condition. I'd like to get rid of a human condition, please, Antonia.
if it works, then it would be perfect.
Yeah. Just switches from being scared to being excited. That would be wonderful. But you
yes,
know,
again, but like that goes right over to my next question. I mean, what are you most excited about when you think about the future of HPC, or women in HPC, or like the inclusive
everything was creating. So there's a lot of really good things to be excited about with like obviously the new technology that's coming in, also with the fact that our community itself, we should be really proud that we have been, over the past ever since I joined, I've just seen us grow from strength to strength in terms of how we've become more open and welcoming to different perspectives, ideas, and people in the field. And so I actually am looking forward to the fact that there are people who are young and excited and genuinely interested, and that our community itself, whether it's, you know, the work I do at ELSA Swipe, mm-hmm. Women in HPC, who has the travel fellowships and promotes early career, the SC conference series, who has actually this year 10 travel fellowships open internationally for people who are just starting out, they can apply for this and be considered. ISC, who Women in HPC have an official partnership with, they have an incredible volunteer program as well. There is a big push in our community to really bring in these new voices. And I think that's something we should all be very excited about. Antonia, you weren't meant to be here as well. You were off doing something else entirely, and you came into HPC. And you're exciting. I'm excited for you to be here as well. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yes, no, thank you so much. I mean, probably most people listening don't know it yet, but I come from management myself. And if I wouldn't have written this LinkedIn message, that's why I even said it before, I probably wouldn't be here today. And it was just a small gesture by my now boss, probably. But I'm so thankful for him opening up a door for me that I didn't even know was there. And also for Women at HPC to give me the opportunity to speak at a conference like this in my first year of being in the field. And I just recognized that everyone in the field is super open once you get to know them, kind of, you know, it can seem a bit intimidating from the outside, but once you have your foot in, everyone is really open to help, everyone really wants to help, and yeah, so everyone that's listening, please get involved with HPC, AI, etc. We really need you, we really need diverse minds, bright minds, we need everyone, actually, and I mean, everyone that wants to be a part of it, and yeah, I mean, I think that's a good wrap up. Kristen, thank you so much for sharing your time and energy with us today. I know that a lot of people listening will really connect with your story and message, and probably also want to connect with women in HPC or get involved. That's why we will link it below, as well as Halo, as well as every other important link. So to the people that are listening, please look at the description and find whatever link you're looking for. And yeah, Kristen, thank you so, so much for being here today and also make the voice heard of so many people that are in this industry. And yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Antonia. Happy to be here and happy you're here.
Great.